Thank you. It ain't moving, amen. God bless you.
All right.
Doing the twist. Come on, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Brother Jesse, let's do 473. Ship ahoy.
Okay.
I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, and the anger was threatened my ruins to be. That away at my side, there I dimly describe a stately old vessel, and loudly I cry, ship ahoy, ship ahoy, and loudly I cry, ship ahoy. 'Twas the old ship of Zion, thus sailing along, all aboard her seemed joyous, I heard their sweet song, and the captain's kind ear, ever ready to hear, caught my wail of distress as I cried out in fear. Ship ahoy! Ship ahoy! As I cried out in fear. Ship ahoy! The good captain commanded a big boat to be lowered, and with tender compassion he took me on board. And I'm happy today, all my sins washed away in the blood of my Savior, and now I can say, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. From my soul I can say, bless the Lord. Oh, soul seeking down neath sin's merciless wave, the strong arm of our captain, hey, he's mighty to save. Then trust him today, no longer delay, board that old ship of Zion and shout on your way. Jesus said, Jesus said, I'm going to shout along that way. Thank you very much. Thank you, Brother Jesse. brother, I tell you what, man, before I got saved, I did shanana, barely bim, 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 get a job. And brother, when I got saved, my music changed. I still remember the old tunes. I'm not stupid, okay? But that ain't my God. That ain't my God no more. This is my God. The songs of Zion. Tomorrow night, Lord willing, we'll be in Detroit, Dearborn area, or north of there, Brother Ryan Gunther's church. About 400 to 500 folks, Brother Grady, Brother Gipp, and flying people in from Israel. Have an all-Israeli conference on the celebration of 70-year anniversary of Israel. And I wish you can go in above and beyond. It's kind of it's a mainly little documentary, but how those Jews got their planes after the war. They got three jets. Somebody gave them three jets, and then and the government wouldn't let them go over to straight to Israel. They had to fly all the way around the world. And he said, they said each time they stopped, there was money and gas providentially ready for them. And those Jews got to Yugoslavia. They gave them five Spitfires with ammo. And when they landed in Israel, Egypt was attacking Israel. Stuff you don't hear on the news. And this was back in the Six-Day War. And when Israel flew over Egypt with those Spitfires dropping bombs, they didn't know they had planes. And they did sure didn't know they had ammo and bombs. The war stopped in 1 hour. Yep. Hello. Yep. Don't mess with that Jew. Right. He will beat you. He'll beat you. He will beat you. Okay? Man. And you ain't going to beat that Jew. That's the way God made him. I mean, you can give him one shoe, they'll own floor shine in a month.
Yeah.
That's a joke, okay? You give them 2 used tires, they own Uniroyal and Goodyear, okay? That's just the way God made them. And that's why Hitler hit them so much. They knew how to make money. God put that in them. And so, but it's good to be here tonight. Good to see Brother Bobby back there. Brother Bobby and I used to sell drugs together. No, just kidding. And I knew his family. His mom worked for me and sisters and brother-in-law. And so I had a great the Rowley family. Been dear to my heart for many, many years. And this morning I spoke to you on there's a king living in you. Tonight I'm going to speak to you on what to do with it. And you know, if everybody in here next week won a soul to Christ and brought them to church, Brother Allen's hair would fall out because he would have nowhere to put them. But our job is not just left here to be saved. Our job is to get people saved. Amen. I'm after sinners. I don't care what, if you're breathing, you're reachable. I don't care what you've done. And I don't judge someone's life. I didn't judge mine. And so I try to, I'm just, like Lester Roloff said, he said he was just a beggar telling another beggar how to get a piece of bread. Yeah. Amen. I told those Amish folks how to get saved. I had Amish people get me to the side. Hey, Jack, tell me the gospel again. What does it mean by going to heaven for sure? And they're as serious can be. And I've led many of those Amish people to Christ, never told nobody. I said, I won't have to tell you. You will tell someone. Because you can't keep him quiet. And so Brother Grady led one to Christ. When I picked up one this last week. Brother Grady led a 45-year-old man to Christ. He said, I want to know I'm saved. I want to know that from church. It's not church. It's not baptism. It's not your beard. It's not your pew. It's not your wagons. It's Christ. That's who saves you. All right, open your Bible anywhere. It's all good. John chapter 5 tonight. John chapter 5. And Lord willing, I'll be heading out about 4 in the morning. Me and my bodyguard over here, Little Peanut. And I got Big Peanut and, Big, and Little Peanut. And what's your name? Micah. And so we'll be heading out in the morning. And then after this concert, we'll be heading back to Alabama. Be prepping for plumbing crews coming in, electricians coming in. And I'm going to see them lights turn back on that door. We got half the lights on the property. It's beautiful. And we got a lot of young men wanting in. And I told you this morning, I got 5-to-1 women calling for help. And it breaks my heart because I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to do something to raise funds for them or something, sell drugs or something. But no, the Lord, if the Lord wants it open, he will take care of it. It's up to me to use it wisely, that's all. And so you pray for us. God, give me wisdom. And I was in the Detroit Police Department, I think, about a month ago. I went to a meeting there, about 100 people, and they just flat out asked me, would you come to Detroit? Mr. Patterson, if we gave you 2 buildings, would you come up here and put 2 homes up here? Put me on the spot. I said, you get me 2 buildings, I'll do something with it. So I got that on the table. That's from the police department. I got a guy, and I just said to myself, where is everybody else at? You know where the workers come from? Churches like this. Now look, I don't want nobody from the church. I got more help coming at me and everything else, but I like to train somebody before I go home to heaven. Amen. Lester Roloff gave an old Detroit boy a chance many years ago. And I gave him a good run for 3 years. 40 guys come off that island in the ministry. 40. They're still at it. It ain't me, it's that book. I know another 2 Germans got me in trouble. Roloff and Ruckman, amen, and so forth. All right, over here in John chapter, what did I say, John chapter 5? I won't preach to you long. I'm getting hungry again. And I love his church. I mean that. I love his church. Love your pastor and your dear wife and so forth. And that's just a blessing always to be up here. And here's what I don't let you know is I hate to leave. I miss the fellowship. And this church right here is like a landmark church. You don't know what's out there. It's dark out there. I go to some churches, man, they're dead. I mean, I'm talking about independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, King James, Baptist. They're deader than 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, only difference between them and the morgue is they're sitting up. Yeah. Yeah, come on now. I mean, they're dead, man. Baptists are getting dead. And I had one guy tell me one time, now, Brother Jack, we don't need no jokes here. I feel like saying, yeah, I'm talking to one, you know. And a fellow one time said, told B.L. Lincoln, my wife can't take a joke. Oh, yes, she did. She took you, amen. But it's getting dark out here. I had one, they're not supporting, so I know churches are not supporting me. One guy told me, now, Brother Jack, don't preach on the King James Bible tonight. And I never preach on the Bible speaks for itself. I'm not, that's not my calling. But I will mention my Bible. It's a don't mess with my Bible, then we'll get on with it. And one guy said, he said, don't come to my church and preach on young people getting a full-time Christian service. Oh, yeah. I look at this guy. You know what he wanted, Brother Ryan? He wanted to keep all of his chickens in the hen house and all of his roosters, boys and girls. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. Win them, wet them, and work them. And sometimes you get preaching in here or somebody. I've seen it every time I bring in special speakers to speak back in my old days with all my guys. And all of a sudden, I'll let an old missionary come in or some other guy just say a few words. And boom, God will hit him and say, I want you in the mission field. And God will just use somebody unknown and speak to them. I had a guy one time, 68 years old, went to the mission field and went to Bible college. Went to mission field, went on it. The average missionary in foreign field, 70 years old. In the 40s, they were 30. Now they're 70, the average missionary. That's how old they are. Did you forget what they said? No, what did you think about what I just said? Somebody's got to step into the plate. Hey, God don't use you, he'll take your kids. He'll use them. I got to somehow next week, I'll tell you this in the message if I can, but I got a sister before she died, she told me to look after her grandson. I've taken him 4 times, got him out of jail, took him to her funeral in handcuffs. He's somewhere living on a viaduct somewhere in Atlanta, Georgia, with a little girlfriend. He said, Uncle Jack, you're the only one I can trust. And I said, well, what do you really want? He said, my whole life is wrecked. I'm 40 years old. My grandma dead. My dad, my granddad about ready to go to heaven. And they kicked me out of the house. Pushed him out with a police order. He said, would you help me? I said, you know I'll help you. So I called the sheriff's department. He said, he's got three charges on him. I said, what would it take to get it dropped? Well, you get an attorney and so forth. I said, if I get him an attorney, get him dropped, I want to take him with me. And so something between this hour and next week, I'll be working on that. I don't know what it's going to cost me. I don't care. But I told my sister I'd look after her grandson. That's my family members. So you think, you just think that your problems and your hurt somewhere else. No, it's in right in your backyard. Okay? And but you have to bear in mind that the hurt of that family, two of my nieces and nephews were burned alive in a fight in Detroit. We think it was a gang fight, but the kids got burned alive in the fire. That was that kid's aunt and uncle. And this boy's daddy died in a crack fire 2 years ago. So my sister who died lost three out of five kids in fires. And so sometimes preachers carry burdens. We don't get to tell you our hurt and pain. We get to hear yours. So we do carry them, and I do carry them. I love them. I love my little nephew. I want to kill him in Jesus' name, but I love him. And that boy's got potential. He met Dr. Ruckman, and he been around the country with me and so forth. But I won't give up on him. I won't give up on him. The just man falleth down and rises up again. Help him out. Never give up on anybody. Someone told Brother Olaf, he said, Brother Olaf, he said, are you going to give up on me? He said, I'll give up on you 3 days after you're dead. Amen. And I asked Brother Olaf one time, what was the highest number of guys that left the program? And he said, I had a guy leave my program 38 times. I took him back. That's grace. That's a whole lot of, and what's your problem? 38 times he took him back. Amen. All right, let me preach to you. John chapter 5, Jesus Christ is talking about John the Baptist. And he's talking about over here in verse number 35. And he says, but he was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for Calvary. I pray, Lord, you help me be a blessing to your people tonight. Lord, I pray that you give me the strength to finish this message tonight to be a blessing. Thank you for Faith Baptist Church. Thank you for Brother Ryan and his dear wife, Linda. Friendship, Lord, they're friends like you to publicans and sinners. Lord, they've opened their doors up and fed people and slept them, Lord, sometimes didn't even know them. And I thank you, Lord, for setting the example for young Christians around here to give something back. And Lord, don't just to be, help them not to be just a taker, but God put it out. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. A young man came to J. Frank Norris one day, one of the greatest preachers ever lived. Look him up online. They called him the Texas Tornado. And he was preaching. And he wanted this young man to come and work for him. And this young man went to see Dr. A.W. Tozer. And he went to see A.W. Tozer, and he asked him, let me ask you a question. Do you want to burn or do you want to shine? And this young man said, what's the difference? He says, burning is a little candle, a light, but shine is when you illuminate that light into your life. And so tonight, I want to talk to you about, you've already burning, but tonight I'm going to talk to you about illuminating that light in your Christian life. That young man was Tom Malone. He went up to Pontiac, Michigan, built a great church for God. And A.W. Tozer told him that you want to burn, you want to shine. Tonight, I don't want to just burn. I want to shine. I want to shine. I don't care if I'm in a wheelchair. I want to shine. I want to shine till Jesus comes. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, hey, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hey, I want to let my light shine. I'm at the gas station and Dunkin' Donut. I'm going to let it shine. I'm up in Nova Scotia talking to a bunch of acid heads. I'm going to let it shine. I was talking to a bunch of boys with Afro sheens on. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to preach the gospel to them. Amen. Hey, you can never take the gospel to the wrong address. Amen. There's a sinner behind every door. Hello, amen. And see, you understand what you're saying when you get home with the judgment of Jesus Christ. When God shows you all the stuff you're supposed to have, but you weren't faithful to get it. Because you wouldn't listen to him. You know who let, Sandy, the girl in the back there, the little buddy back there, what's your name? Yeah, the girl with the dumb look on her face. The black hair, right there, yeah, you. Yeah, stand up. Yes, yes, stand up. Stand up, oh, you are standing, okay. I know who she is. I'm just picking one. You know, girl, you see that girl right there? Raise your hand. That girl there? All right, thank you. All right, we showed you enough time. Sit down. I was at the Brent Baptist Church the day I got saved. You know what? A girl about her size, a preacher boy's wife, put her finger in my face. And she said, Jackie, if you don't get saved, God's going to put you in hell. I got saved that day. She kind of pushed me over the edge. Amen. Amen. How many of them, when you go to sleep at night, your pillow gets hot, you flip it. I used to put my pillow in the freezer. I'd cool it off a little bit. Amen. Hell yeah. I'm talking about shining. I'm talking about shining. Hey, I don't want to just burn. I don't want to just be saved. I don't want to just know my Bible. I want to shine. One night we had a guy, a young man at the lighthouse. We live 50 miles on the intercoastal. Look it up on, that thing is called Above and Beyond by the Jews. It's on YouTube. Look, check it out. It tells you how they got their planes, whatever. Back to this. But 50 miles on the intercoastal, it's called Padre Island. And one night we had a boy, he got snake bit. And we had to get him out of there, and the Coast Guard couldn't get down there. So Brother Loft was going to land his plane on the mud beach there. He said, "Now look," he said, "you got to put out those smudge spots, but make sure all the glasses are clean." And we got all those 100 smudge spots out there. We had to put out 100 smudge spots, put them out about 200 or 300 feet apiece, more than that probably, 300, and about maybe 200 feet wide. And we had a long runway. He's going to land that 206 Cessna. It's a workhorse. And we got over there and looked in that closet, and the guys on the previous job did not wipe off the soot off the glass. It was all dark. In other words, you can light the light, but it wouldn't come through the glass. Yeah. It wasn't the glass's problem. There was some soot on there, some black oil base. Now I'm going to liken that to sin. You're saved tonight. You're in the body of Christ. Your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But sometimes we allow soot on the glass of our sins. And so we had to do, Brother Ryman, we had to get an oil base rag and wipe back. And he was already in the air. I had 45 minutes to get those things lit and put out. We went across there. We had them all lit and so forth. And what I'm talking about tonight, I find sometimes in my own Christian life, I see my light burning, but the soot of my own life has kind of blocked that light. How are we doing tonight? I'm talking about, I don't want to just burn. I want to shine. I want to turn that wick up. I want to put that oil in there, top of the Word of God. Get on that wick and turn that thing up, man, and let it burn and let it shine and illuminate. I'm talking about on your job, illuminate your Christianity. I'm talking about in your home, illuminate your Christianity. And let the world see a difference inside your Christian life. God will bring a witness to you. I've had people come up, and I was passing out tracts the other day in Dearborn for a left, and right down the street from my home church, Brother Chris stopped, and I got a bunch of chick tracts I passed out, and the girl had the Muslim on her head. I want to go to, yeah, 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 yeah. I don't do that, though, but I try to irritate them, say, you are one crazy Baptist. And I went to get my coffee. McDonald's got great coffee, change your life. And I go up there, and she said, hey, preacher, you gave me this last time. I want another one. I couldn't find one. I went all the way home to get her a new chick track. Amen. Hello? Amen. Anybody home? No. That girl wearing a burqa wanted a new chick track. I went and got her one. I went, oh, you wouldn't do that, would you? I would. He would. Hey, I don't want to just burn. I want to shine. Let me ask you a question. What's on the glass tonight? Sometimes people will put soot on there. Sometimes family members will put soot on there. You got to get it off. I had a sister many years ago, and I won't say her name, and but she and her and my mother got into a situation where they weren't talking for a long time. And my sister called me up, wanted me to know if I'd come eat at the house. I said, no, I want you, until you make things right with Mom, I'm not coming over. Amen. They got in a big fuss and a fight. And so I wouldn't come over. And a matter of a few months, maybe 2 years, my mother had passed away. At the funeral, I got shocked. My sister walked up to me and she said, Jack, I want to thank you for making me go talk to Ma. I didn't know she went and talked to her. My sister had a vendetta towards my mother at the age of 16 years old. And she carried that about 50, 60 years. By the way, when you get those barbs inside your heart, listen to me, it'll affect how you talk. It'll affect how you walk. It'll affect how you respond to people. Because you've always got an edge on your tongue. You've always got that cutting, sharp answer. Am I the only sinner here tonight? Come on. And I talked to my sister. I said, what was it that you and Mom had in a fight about? She said, she gave the authority over the kids to my other sister, not to me. And I had jealousy against my sister all those years. My sister today is in church. She loves God. She tithes. She sings. She can't sing, but she tries to sing. And I love my sister, bless her heart. That's the one that can't cook, by the way. I don't go, I call her, hey, sis, I'm a long way from you. I'm 2 blocks away. And no, I'm just kidding. And try to mend another relationship. Hey, he was a burning and a shining light. Yeah. I had a young man come to my ranch one time, and Brother Wolf called us up, and he said, I need to see you in my office. And he said, all right. He said, I want to see you. And what happened is he got a picture in the mail from a guy. This guy was a hitman. This guy had stole a lot of drugs and out of Dalton, Georgia, and he had a picture, and he took a picture with a scope rifle. And he took a picture of this guy and had this guy fishing on the pier, and I was standing right next to him in that picture. And he had a circle around this guy's head. This guy was a hitman from Dalton, Georgia. He called Brother Olaf up, and Brother Olaf said, why are you telling me the story? He said, I just called my mother, told her I was in Corpus Christi, Texas, and he said, why don't you go see Lester Roloff? He's my hero. That's the guy he was going to put a hit on one of his boys. He said, I can't kill that young man. My mother found out, that'd break her heart. But you tell that young man never to come back. I'm going to tell him I never found him. Brother Roloff called me and that boy in his house and showed me that picture. Brother Roloff destroyed the picture. It rattled that young man. He got right with God. He got out in the world again, And Les Roloff told him, if you ever mess your life up and I'm dead, you look up Jack Howells or Lee Robertson. His little wife got on heroin. She couldn't take it much, so she took her own life. The kid saw it one day to come out. After all this kid's been through, he said, see, tragedy won't stop you. It'll take truth. And long story short, Brother Ryman, he comes out and sees his wife hanging there in the kitchen. He goes to Millersville, Georgia. He called Lee Robertson and said, I'm so-and-so and told you the story I just told you. And Lee Robertson said, what do you want to do with your life, young man? He said, I want to preach the gospel. Brother Wolf's dead and gone now. My family's all tore up. There's something I can do, isn't there? He got out about 3 months later. Lee Robertson said, when you come out of the jail, just come knock on my door. You don't need an appointment. I like that. And he walked in Dr. Lee Robinson's office, Tennessee Temple, and he planned his life out. He went back to Bible school at 49 years of age. Became preacher boy of the year. I'll see him 2 weeks first. I saw him at my brother's funeral, but we've been talking. I said, I'll see you in a couple of weeks. I'm going to come out and have lunch with you. But wait a minute. You know what he's been doing for the last 20, 25 years? He found a little niche for him to do. He said he wanted no limelight, no fanfare. He went and found a bunch of jails in Tennessee and Kentucky that had no chaplain. And every Saturday night and every Monday night, he's in those jails preaching. He's 75 years old now. This happened when he was about 50. You know what he was doing? He's shining. He's shining. I'm talking about, say, hey, there's people here that you can reach in this area. I'm telling you, neighbor, they're looking for you. You teenagers, and by the way, see, the world's looking for you boys and girls with hurt eyes. Listen to me now. Wake up. Hey, it's preaching time. Hey, they're looking for hurt eyes because they can tell there's something wrong with you. Gang members look for, I'm telling you, they told me this 30 years ago. Say, we look for trouble. We look for rebellious kids and boys and girls with troubled eyes. We can reel them in. They're very easily to read and very easily to reel in. And that's why I look for them and I fight for them. I pulled out of jail there a couple of days ago out of Dayton. I went to see one of our girls at church, and some of the people said, why do you got to go see here for? I mean, because if it was your daughter, I'd go see your daughter. Amen. I almost wanted to call him a punk, but I can't because I'm a preacher, so I won't call him a punk. But I went and seen that girl in jail. She said, preacher, thanks for coming to see me. I made it. I got on dope. I said, hey, hang in there. I'm not going to forsake you, girl. I'm going to come here every time I come in town. I'm going to come and see you. And when you get out, I'm going to find the best girl's home in the country, and I'm going to put you in there. Amen. She said, what do you want? I said, you know what I want. You can run a women's dorm. You're good at it. She said, you really think I can do something for God? I said, no, I know you can. I know your home's all busted up. You left your husband, got on dope, Prostitution Avenue. She said, well, Jack, I almost didn't come back. I almost didn't come back. She said, preacher, I'm looking at her. Can you leave some money on my food account? I said, sure. Didn't even think about it. Didn't have to pray about it. Yeah. I feel sorry for them. I better pray about it. Yeah. How about when you want something? I see the, hey, come on. I see the cows out there looking at me. I didn't have my glasses on, and I was going to leave her $20. I pushed the wrong button. That girl got 50 bucks off me, and I couldn't get it back. I went and saw her the next time. She said, man, I partied in here with that $50. I thought you were going to give me, we buying pizza for everybody. I said, my preacher took it. This is from my preacher. She said, only time I'd give him pizza. And then all of a sudden she stopped witnessing in there. I'll be seeing her next week in that jail. But when I walked out the jail, all these other druggies and hookers saw me talking to her in line. They said, who are you? Can you help me? I know I had 15 around me. And I had a couple guys come up there tattooed up in the neck and a gazoo, you know. And I said, yeah, I'll help you. Give me a name. And they ain't got no business cards. Here's my number, man. I got one number on pack of cigarettes. You know, just not the cigarettes, the inside wrapper. You know what I do with them? I'm going to shine with them. You know what I see there? Potential workers for the vineyard. Amen. So you got to see that. So you don't see that. All you see is, rah, I'm from Smyrna, Delaware. There's more to life than Elsie the cow out here. There's more to life than 13 Highway and the doghouse and working up there. Hey, there's more to life than that. Hey, yeah. And preacher, you know why your preacher's trying to have a youth conference for you? He's trying to influence you for the next generation. Yeah. He's trying to put something in you. But a third ever is like this. Dum, da, dum, dum. What case, sirrah, whatever will be. And then some of you say, man, I want some of that. I want some of that. I want some. See, there's a variety of people here tonight. That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Hey, you want to burn? You just want to go to heaven saved? Or you want to shine? Amen. Then you got to get the set off the glass. You got to get that anger off the glass. You got to get that pride off the glass. Amen. You ain't telling me what to do. Yeah, they will. You'll go over and ask about 6 or 7 kings in the Old Testament. Now I'll preach it next time. Maybe I come here. But all that Nebuchadnezzar is one of them. He ate grass like an ox. But the Bible says when he humbled himself. Amen. You don't like people telling you what to do. Well, you little cocky little witch. Amen. Your dad's, I've had him in my dorm. I had women walk out of the dorm. I'll get me some drugs. Take her blouse off. I said, yeah, she showed up home 3 months later in California. Druggies and pimps had her for 3 months. I know about that pit. Yeah. I know about that pit. Amen. I know what'll take you there, and I know what'll take to get out. I just got that couple out of Detroit. They were sleeping in a dumpster. I cried when they told me the story. Bought them some food. Then they wouldn't let me pay. No, I got a food card. I said, you ain't buying my food. And he said, we're going to buy your food. We've been buying dope for 6 months. At least I want to buy a preacher at lunch. I said, go ahead. They said, man, we're buying. That's the first time they said, we ever bought. Yeah, now, you know, what are you living for? What do you want? What do you want? I want to take something home. As a kid, I would go down the alleys of Detroit, and I had my little wagon. I'd find an old ball-peen hammer and can of 3-in-1 oil and put it in my little wagon. I was about 4 years old. In Detroit there, my dad had they were working on the car, and he kept drinking his ice water. They told me it was ice water with gin and vodka in it. And one day, I remember he was sober, and I brought my little wagon in there. He said, "What do you got there, Jackie boy?" I had a whole bunch of junk. Duck roll tape, and had about 4 or 5 things just walking up and down the alleys of Detroit. But one of these days, I'm going to bring my Heavenly Father what I brought in from the alleys of life. I'm going to bring some hookers and druggies and pimps, bankers and lawyers and doctors. I'm going to bring them in, Lord. So, Lord, Daddy, look what I brought home to you. Well, look what I brought home to you. What's in your wagon tonight? How about the people at work you don't get along with? You know the problem could be you. I mean the problem really, it could be you. Hello, looking, go home and look in the mirror. Is it you? And I think the image is going to say, big time, watch out. Hey, what are you taking home tonight? Hey, what are you taking home? I'm going to take something home. Amen. I got a missionary friend of mine when I knew him and met him years ago, and he was praying about the will of God for his life. He's 70 years old. He wanted to make one more last mission station. They're in the airplane flying in Canada, Garland Cofield. Check it out. And good friends of Dr. Ruckman. And they get flying there, and the plane they're flying up in, way up in Alaska, towards the Yukon, cold, cold, dark place. And they had to land with their ski shoes on the plane and landed on ice. And they landed there, and they saw a house about 2 miles away. They said, "Let's walk over there and see if we can get some help and probably spend the night here." And knock on the door. It wasn't a door. It was a blanket. Had a fire going inside. Igloo, big one. And there was an old blind Indian lady. She came in the door, and they introduced herself as two missionaries and preachers. And she said, "I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you." She said, "I've been blind as a little girl. My mom and dad were missionaries. My husband died, and I stayed here with this village. I've been praying for a missionary to come for many years." She fed him that night, asked him to stay there. Garland Cofield was 70. The next 5 years of his life, he helped that village with that blind Indian lady. You know what he was at 70 years old? He became a burning and a shining light. I'm not asking you to come to the mission field tonight, although we need you. I'm not asking you to start home for broken people, although we need you. I'm asking you to shine where you're at. I'm asking you to shine in Smyrna. I'm asking you to shine in Dover. Don't just burn, shine. Shine. Come alive at work. Well, how do you shine at work? I'll be there on time. Don't be cutting the clock to get out of there. Oh, I gotta go. No, how about you gotta stay? You gotta stay. You know, every job I've got I didn't like. I had a goal to be a, I wanted to be a lead man there. But I was digging out septic tank trucks. And I said, "Man, I'm gonna be the foreman here." My wife said, "You're gonna get a lead man on a septic tank truck?" "Yeah, I'm gonna get one there." Man, I got preaching to everybody, witnessing to everybody, and I got this big old septic tank truck, and then I thought I knew everything about it. Know it all Baptists, you know some of them. And I get this thing, and I got to dump it to get back and get one more run. I'm at the dump in Chicago, and I want to get out of there. And what I did, I had this cap I got to take off, but I forgot I put the PSI pressure on. And I had it on, and I didn't know why the truck was going boom, 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 boom. It was bouncing up and down. I was a novice. I'm trying to do the best I can. And I took this cap off. And so it's 3,000 gallons of waste inside this tank. Hell, where do I get Terry? Amen. And I don't know if it's a burning and shining light, but I'm in too far now to turn back. And I thought the lever was down. And when I took off those two caps, the lever popped up. 3,000 gallons of septic sewage had been in the ground for 20 years, went in my eyes, my nose, my mouth, my ears. Oh, my, it blew me back 20 feet. I was backstroking in that stuff, man. I was doing the swim, amen. That was nasty. Then I had to drive home to change clothes. And what happened, that stuff turned my body pure white, pure white. I was a white boy. Then I took those clothes off and showered in my house. And I left them in the bag in the bathroom. And it was wintertime. The place was hot. The whole neighbor said, what's that smell? I don't know how much they fined me in that apartment. You got to get the smell out of every house. I know. But here's the moral of that story. I got back to work that day. And the boss says, you coming back to work after all that? I said, yeah. He said, are you crazy? I said, no. He said, I know you need another driver here. He said, stand back a little bit and I'll talk to you. He said, are you serious, Jack? I said, yeah, I want to come back and work for you. He said, if you're that serious, I'm coming to church with you Sunday. I'm serious. He came to church Sunday. And come to find out, he was saved, but he was backslidden. And, man, I can still burp that stuff. I can still taste that smell, my bro. Oh, my goodness. But that guy came to church. That guy came to church and got right with the Lord. I don't know whatever happened to him. He got right. He used to have a boss at Blonde Ox. He used to make fun of us. Bill Grady, they'd bow down to us, you know, and the Muhammad. Oh, yeah, I'd make fun of them. Hey, I couldn't say their name. Hey, salami baloney, come here. And one day a foreman come by there and said, I said, you guys real? I said, yeah, we're real. I said, ain't no punk. I don't drink Kool-Aid. I'm real, man. I grew up in the gang. My dad knew Hoffa and Tanto Peroni. I met Mr. Hoffa when I was about 8 years old. And several times I met him. He said, can I come to church with you? I said, yeah, we got a little preaching church down there. So we get down there, and 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, I'm making production. I'd have my tank down there. Well, I'm putting the bearings in the M60 tanks, idlers. I'm supposed to do one and a half an hour, doing up to 2 or 3 tanks a night. Union steward trying to slow down. So now I'm here to work, man. Long story short, they wanted me to come to Dayton, Ohio, to the Abraham, and I said, no, I stayed over there. But anyways, so it takes this guy to midnight to a midnight service. We had about 4 or 5 guys, and there's a guy up there preaching at 3 o'clock in the morning. This guy's a screamer. I mean to tell you, the Bible. He's humming. I wanted to say, hey, look, doc, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you get no show tonight, okay? And he kept preaching. We need to have revival. We need to have revival. And the foreman's looking at him. I said, I guess he's going to get revival, isn't he? Foreman just got saved. Next night he came back. He said, where's revival at? They called him revival. I said, I don't know. He said, I bet you he's sleeping in a tank. I said, really? Those tanks are hollow. There's no guts in them. You mean they ring like a bell if you hit it? Wait till I get there. He said, Jack, you can't do that. I said, you don't know nothing. You don't know nothing, Colonel Hogan. I go to this tank by the factory, by one of the main doors, and there's this sucker got a board, and he's sleeping with his hat on, and we're up there having church. And the moral of that story is, don't miss church. I went and found the biggest sludgehammers I got. That foreman took off. He said, I'm going to go in my office. I can't watch this. I cannot watch this. So he went to his office, and I had about 30 or 40 people in the cupola where they put the lid on the tank, and it's facing the tank, it's facing this way. I said, guys, when I hit this tank, you guys come up here and tell them the tank's falling. And this, I hit that tank, bang, bang, and he's falling. Hey, the tank's falling. He's in a dead sleep. I mean, his eyes are all bloodshot, you know. He's coming through the cupola hole. His body's halfway out, and he's looking. There's about 40 people. Ah, you know, it ain't falling. Sack out. We got you, didn't we? That really happened. He chased me for every day. For about 2 months, it was wintertime. He kept throwing ice balls at my machine. A couple months, I was going to go to another job, and I think run down to summer camp. And I ran into the foreman. He said, you know, I watched you guys in the shop. You tore down the pornography. You burnt it. You wouldn't let guys smoke dope around your machine. He said, I was one of those Peter guys. I used to warm my hands by the devil's fire. Said, I want to start witnessing. I joined a little church now. This is a couple years now, down the road. He joined Dyer Baptist Church. His wife sings in the choir. He's passing out tracts. He was doing exactly what we were doing. And Dominic DiMichele was his name. I went to pay the Hertz Penske bill. I was moving out to Washington to start the men's ranch in 1994. I stepped in to get some paperwork done and went back to pay it. And the boss said, then the guys at U-Haul said, your bill's been paid. I said, man, my bill ain't paid. That's about $800. He said, that guy, that Italian guy paid your bill. He drove off already. Maybe it does pay to shine. The Lord will bring people by to be a blessing to you. Amen. I'm talking about some of you teenagers. You want your mom and dad to live right. Are you living right? Amen. You're behaving yourself and no one else is around. Mom and dad said nobody at the house. That's what they mean, nobody at the house. Amen. Don't bow your head. Ain't time to pray yet. I know what's going on. I sat where you sat. I know how you meet. You got your little angles. You got your little signals. You can't control your phone. Get rid of it. I said, get rid of it. Amen. Better yet, mom and dad, take it without asking them. And I want one of your punky teachers to get in my face. Okay? I said punky. It goes either gender. The guy said, are you going to take my phone? I said, what are you, a baby? Yeah, you got to catch you acting stupid with it. And, I found them under the beds talking to people in the dorm. Hey, man, that place is a prison, man. I can't smoke. But I just kept him out of prison. I said, what is wrong with you? Are you stupid? I sent seven guys to PBI one year like an idiot because I went to cook breakfast on Saturday. I sent all my cooks off. So I had to start cooking. I had all new guys in the dorm. I had to go back to work. I'll never do that again. But I got one guy. He went to the decathlon. He got caught smoking cocaine and he got busted for cocaine. He was in the decathlon in the Olympics. Finished up the ranch. Married a girl out of Bob Miltella's church. I had some good young men come out. I had some come out there and break my heart. But I don't give up on them. But I buried 40 of them. I buried 40 of them. About 30 boys and 30 girls. I just lost a girl the other day in Toledo, Ohio. Last time I was here, I drove here to go see her in the hospital in Toledo, Ohio. Her father was one of Jack Howell's right-hand men, grandfather. She cussed me out when she saw me. I cussed her back. No, I said, no. I said, that's the dope talking. Then she told me, she said, Brother Jack, I got with the wrong crowd. I'm about done here. Listen to me. I got with the wrong crowd. And I wanted to be like them, but I knew it wasn't right. And her twin sister sitting right next to her. The girl got out of the hospital next week, went and got one more shot of crack. Heart blew, opioid, excuse me. And she died. Her sister's she's turned her whole life around, but she lost her sister. They used to do dope together. Go ahead and play with sin. It'll bite you. Let me ask you a question. Can the planes land on your light? Can the plane land on your light? Do you see something that's got to come off the glass? You see something you got to wash off? Rebellion is to your parents. Rebellion to your pastor. Do you see something? You don't need me to tell you anything more. I think you know what you got to do. When the last time you come and ask the Lord, say, Lord, give me a rag tonight. Lord, by faith, I want to get my glass clean. I want to start being loyal to you, Christ. I want to start being loyal to my pastor and his wife. I want to start being loyal to my church instead of just playing games. So God's speaking to your heart already. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. As pastor comes and takes over. Come on.